Well, g'day folks, and welcome back to Flying Down Under. I'm Steve.
And I'm Grant.
Back with another look at the world of aviation down here in the Great Southern Land. Well, Grant, we haven't done one of these segments for quite some time, so we thought we'd better take a splash this time around and get one done.
That's right, mate, a splash indeed, and we're going to have a great chat with a gentleman here about a sport aircraft amphibian.
And being in the LSA category, or RAOS as we know it down here, the Super Petrel LS was on display at the annual NatFly event in Tamora, New South Wales recently, and we spoke to its owner in Australia and sales director Rowan Whittington all about it.
It's a biplane amphibian aircraft that's built in Brazil. The original design was in 1986. It's been modified extensively. Now this aircraft will pitch you along at about 100 knots. It has a 912, so it burns mo gas and av gas, and let's just say it's taken me from Tasmania to Heron Island out to Lake Eyre in the last 18 months, and I've never been happier.
I'll tell you what, out at Lake Eyre at this time of year, and particularly with the water back, would be spectacular flying out there.
Magic flight, and there is some restrictions to flying over Lake Eyre, but there's a lot of little lakes and rivers and creeks around there that we dipped our hull into on that 10-day trip, and it was just, you know, every day you wake up to what are we going to do next and how are we going to have some more fun. And the places we went and the scenery we could see that a lot of other people couldn't see was just magic.
Now, we might get into talking a bit more about the intricacies of flying an amphib in a minute, but I'm curious about some of the other specs of this aircraft. What's the power plant behind it? A Rotax, I'm thinking?
The Rotax 912 ULS, so it's the 100 horsepower. It's a carbureted model, and we run the aircraft at about 5,200 to 5,500 RPM, so that gives us about 85 knots in what I call first gear. When you run a seaplane off the water, you have to have it in fine pitch, in a fairly fine pitch to get the thrust to get off the water. Obviously, it's quite draggy, so this aircraft will get off the water in about 100, 150 metres, depending on your load and how high you are, your density altitude, essentially.
Now, tell me about the avionics package. So they come with different... I noticed, particularly in this RAO sector, there seem to be a wide variety of different avionics packages you can get in any given aircraft. I take it it's the same for this?
Absolutely. You can buy this in the steam gauge version if you wish, as I have, and I believe in the robustness of steam gauges, and so I basically came brought it out with that, and then added radios in as I saw fit, so the Micro Air and an old Bendix King transponder, which I fitted afterwards. The new aircraft come out now literally with the full Dynon glass cockpit package from one end to the other, just the full glass instruments, and absolutely magic to see. But for me, I like the old steam gauges as I was trained on 25 years ago.
I agree with that. Yep, I'd go for that.
Simple and straightforward. But yes, you can choose a combination of any of those packages from EDRA when you purchase the aircraft.
Yeah.
So they're built to your specs.
Right, and what would you be looking at to get one of these over here? What sort of, for a base model, what sort of price would you be looking
at? The base model, the analog gauges, with the Garmin GPS and Garmin radios and a Garmin transponder. Flyaway in Australia is 125,700, so it is actually at the, I hasten to say, not the budget end, but it's the realistic end to step into a seaplane for most pilots.
Now, you said they're made in Brazil?
Yes, absolutely.
So what's the sort of lead time? How many of them are there in the country, roughly?
Well, there's five now. My aircraft here, 79097, has been here for 18 months. It's one of the two aircraft that came out. There's now five aircraft in Australia. The four new models came out in late February, early March, and now two of them are flying around Australia, and the other two are waiting for their pilots to get their licences.
Tell us about some of the intricacies of flying. I mean, getting certified to fly an amphib, particularly through the RAL scheme, any sort of particular extra training, obviously, you'd need to do for that?
Yes, the aircraft is known as a water hull. So on your licence, the water hull WH rating has to be, you have to take up that rating, but it's also a retractable gear for the obvious reasons. We're not a pure floating hull. We are amphibians, so you need a retractable gear endorsement. That takes up just a couple of hours of regular land circuits. I'm the instructor for Northern New South Wales and Queensland for Super Petrel, and generally your rating takes about 10 hours, and you'd like to see at least 100 takeoffs and landings on water to gain the endorsement.
Right.
So we initially go around the circuit area on land for the first 2 or 3 hours, get used to flying the aircraft in a normal configuration, then we go out and have some fun on the water for the next 6-7 hours. We do things like step taxiing, plough taxiing, beachings, driving, putting the gear down, driving up boat ramps. Too much fun doing that. And also finding the best best places to camp on the beach.
Absolutely. Well, that's really part of the flexibility you'd get with having an amphib, wouldn't it? I mean, you can pretty well go anywhere you want.
Yes. I often say we stick to the blue because the green's the dangerous bit. So it's the opposite to the regular land-based aircraft. So we literally fly from river to lake to harbour looking for good spots to land. And that's a challenge for us, is to find the best places to stick it in and have some fun with it.
One of the things I noticed with it is obviously because it's an amphib, it's very low to the ground. So, I mean, there must be quite a rush as you're coming into the water. And I guess even if you're landing on a runway, that would almost to me seem like an unnatural for someone who's used to flying, say, a Cessna 172, where you're a little higher up. I mean, that must take some getting used to? Or
It does get a little getting used to from a flying point of view, but generally when I take the people that want to go and have a demo flight in it, it's wiping the silly grin off their faces when they do their very first water landing at that point. And I often get, can we do that again?
You know,
there's no fear in it. It's just an unusual point of view. So if they're flown in a float-type plane off a 185 with floats on it, they say, yes, we're really down low in the water. And the only thing I say to them is, yes, you may get a little wet if we hit some wakes or waves that we're not looking out for. Apart from that, you pretty much stay dry virtually all the time. And it's just the absolute grin on the face that I still enjoy seeing for new pilots.
Absolutely. We've got the Lake Boga Splash In coming up. Are you heading off to that?
Booked in a long time ago.
Absolutely, yeah.
Actually, part of the Seaplane Pilots Association, we have an intranet forum, which as a seaplane pilot, you're invited to join. And we've organised events out to next year. We have Lake Boga coming up. There's Rathmines, which is at Lake Macquarie near Newcastle. That's a flying event for seaplanes. And also I've organised a trip up to see the solar eclipse in November of this year.
Wow.
And we've booked a house that's right on the beach with a rainforest right behind us. And the owner said, yes, please bring all the seaplanes up, park it on the beach and watch the eclipse in the morning, the next morning. So it's a trip of 5 or 6 days for some people. We're going to stretch it out to 10 and just hit every lake, river and harbour on the way up there, then enjoy the solar eclipse.
That sounds wonderful. We might have to stay in contact with you, Rowan, and you can tell us all about that in the future.
I'd love to report back to you.
Okay, now you're talking about an online presence, so where can people find out more about this aircraft and more about what you guys do in general?
Just type in Super Petrol Australia and you'll come straight to our website anyway, and you'll have all the details and the information on there.
And fantastic. Grant, I tell you what a lovely looking machine. I've never flown in an amphibious aircraft. You know what? I think it's high time I did that.
Oh, totally, mate. It's on my to-do list. I really want to get a floating hull endorsement when I eventually get around to getting a fixed wing in addition to my ballooning license.
It just goes to show you, Grant, that this sector of aviation, it doesn't matter which part of the world you're in, it's really the up-and-coming one. There's at that event at NatFly, there were amphibians and every other type of aircraft that you could imagine, and all the time yapping at the heels of the traditional GA fleet.
That's right, mate. They're really popular aircraft, and the light sport sector of aviation here in Australia is booming.
And folks, if you'd like to hear the full version of that interview, you can hop over to our website, playingcrazydownunder.com, and click on episode 89, and you'll be able to hear all about that and the many other aircraft that were there up at NatFly. But I tell you what, Grant, flying these aircraft wouldn't normally be a challenge, but I don't know, mate, an amphibious aircraft flying upside down?
Well, mate, you know we'd be able to do it, because down here in Australia, we're always flying inverted.